Sunday Meditation, May 18th, 2003. Our question this week has to do with how we can maintain our spiritual centers and our desire to seek in a spiritual sense when there are so many things in the world around us that seem to be necessary for us to give our attention to in a very focused fashion. Whether it's children that we're raising, family that we are relating to, a job that we are working with, friends that we wish to interact with. We would like any information Quo could give us about how to maintain this balance between the worldly things that seem to take so much of our time and attention and the spiritual things that we have to work so hard to make time for.
We are those known to you as the principle of Akua, and we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. May we say what a great privilege and pleasure it is for us to be able to share in your circle of seeking and to be asked to share as well our opinions concerning the balancing of the busy life between the two worlds of doing and being. In order for us to speak freely, we would ask one thing of you, and that is that you exercise the most stringent discrimination in listening to those thoughts that we share. We are not those of authority, but rather those who are your neighbors, your friends, your brothers and your sisters. We have perhaps walked in your way of thinking more miles along the road of spiritual evolution. Yet, we are not those who have infallible opinions, but rather those who are like you, pilgrims upon the road, those who seek the truth. Therefore, in order for our reassurance that we are not infringing upon the free will of any, we would greatly appreciate your using the utmost discrimination in judging whether or not the thoughts we share may have some use for you. If they do not, please leave them behind. We gaze within this instrument's mind for the flavor of the experience that you question about in this session, and see that this instrument, as all of those within this room and indeed within your culture, have a marked tendency to find themselves physically running out of time, not just from time to time, but in each and every day, before the list of things that were hoped for being done within that day is finished. And indeed, often in this instrument's mind, we see the rueful assurance that a hard-working and productive day can go by completely full of hard work, yet without even beginning to cross an item off the list of those things that the instrument thought that she was going to do that day. Indeed, the illusion is quite efficient in creating ever more confusion and ever more catalyst for growth, learning, and service. As the one known as Vara has said, the universe is doing its job. It is our feeling that each creates before incarnation a plan for those themes of choice within the incarnation to come being set as default repeating markers within the life experience, whatever the lesson of service is, whatever the lesson of learning is. These things are provided as if they were food. Sometimes the food is black and bitter fruit, or so it would seem within the physical life, and yet this fruit is that which is prized in terms of its effectiveness in placing the essence within the entity in situations in which the themes of the incarnation may be explored. And that which Maria called the processes of spiritual evolution may take place upon whatever level. And indeed, most of the solid, serious work of spiritual evolution is done with conscious intention, certainly, but for the most part in terms of the content and the substance of the work done, that work is done below the level of consciousness, fed by the intention, as if the root of the stream or the source of the stream were within the mental worlds or the mental, emotional, spiritual world, shall we say, but springing forth into the life in terms of experience, intuition, dream content, and so forth. Consequently, there seem to be fountains of events of a certain type that periodically or perhaps constantly just keep coming, keep springing forth. And together with those sprays of the water of catalyst come sprays of the minerals within that water, which are emotions connected with the events that are occurring. So that as you as a soul are flowering, these rains of catalyst and emotion come to feed the fertile soil of your learning, so that you have every opportunity to grow that crop of knowing, that crop of realization, what this instrument would call grokking, that these themes that spiral again and again into the life experience help one to explore. Let us take a step back now from this query and look at the entity that each of you is and how that entity experiences. For experience is not what it seems, nor is memory. Neither the present nor the past are in the kind of sharp focus that they seem to be within the physical illusion. The one known as David has pointed out that we do not see with our eyes, nor do we hear with our ears. Rather, there is a kind of composite that is made up largely of pre-assumed vision which fills in the background of most entities' organs of awareness, so that one is not seeing clearly. Indeed, one may not notice a great deal of that which one is gazing at because of the way the mind receives data and forms it into a picture. The structure of memory, similarly, is such that the true memory is being harvested to the soul quality, essence, or higher self of each entity, and only the shadow of the experience, or shall we say, a copy of the data, remains within the biocomputer of the mind. Consequently, much that floods the awareness is the result of poor or actually incorrect information. Therefore, the task of untangling one's organs of awareness from pre-assumption is a difficult one, a lifelong one, and one that cannot be done without help. We encourage each in this wise, then, to pursue those resources that will aid in allowing the mind to reassess each pre-assumption that can be found within the mind, assessing it anew for its accuracy, its place within the value system which you enjoy, and so forth. Giving the self the chance to look anew at all of those things which you are quite sure you have gazed at already and come to a settled opinion concerning. Always there is new truth for you in situations which are puzzling you. Always there is a great deal of fertile growth, which may occur rather quickly in understanding a certain structure which is puzzling, such as the challenge of the child rearing that the one known as Maria was speaking about. The instinct is to assume, since one is within a physical body, and it seems quite obvious that one is a limited entity and must take care for the self as a frail and limited entity, that one must be strong, one must be sturdy, one must be upon one's guard at all times. And upon one level, this is completely and absolutely true. Within the illusion, in terms of extra pairs of hands, when there is one parent in a house with children, those hands need physically to be looking out for those children, doing what needs to be done for those children, and so forth. However, your query concerns the state of mind within which these duties which are so dear to the heart may be done. It is not the chores themselves, as we gaze around this circle, that seem to be troubling the mind of any within this circle. Each entity within this sitting group seems to have a strong, shall we say, yellow ray or physical environmental presence. That energy is flowing well. There is not the begrudging of the working time or the dislike of that which one is doing to be a stumbling block to enjoying that time of labor which each has committed the self to. Rather, it is the experience of each that the physical doing that consumes the time within the day also seems to consume that space within the mind, the heart, and the being, which is spacious and has that feeling of comfort and emotional security, which gives one that point of view which is full of joy, cheerful, and simply having a good time, having what this instrument would call fun with whatever one is doing. Once an entity has moved through those re-examinations of the default settings of the mind, shall we say, one is then perhaps more in touch with where the self meets the process of spiritual evolution today, at this time, at this instant. Then it is that the soul may begin to become conscious about its choice of points of view. The choice is not what it seems, for it is not the choice between one mental view and another. It is not a choice that can be pinned down to thinking one way or disciplining oneself to behave in one certain way. Rather, it is a growing awareness that the self is magical. And the environment of the self is also magical. In the realization of the profundity and the depth of that magical self, there comes a realization that much of the most important part of you, as you view yourself and your gifts, is impersonal. That you are living a personal life with perhaps 20% of your energy and living an imperishable, impersonal life with by far the majority of the life energy that is invested within the personality shell, which entities relate to as each of you. You are so much more than you seem. And so much of what each seems to be is only the shadow of the essence of the gifts that are burgeoning forth from that fountain of catalyst and emotion. Each gives so many gifts that each is unaware of through each day. Within the confusion and the turmoil of the rat race, the crowded schedule, the endless chores, there is no end to the interaction which each has with all the inner sub-densities of this particular experience which you enjoy at this time. At the level where the resource of intent is most effective, intent may be set in such a way as to call in help which is unseen and which is the other side of the story of that physical persona which is flesh and blood and has only two hands and must be responsible. This help has no hands, has no feet, and for the most part it has no voice. This help is unique in its pattern, its structure, and its way of communicating to you. For each of you is a very special and eccentric kind of energy ball that draws to it, because of its beauty, entities from the inner planes, which this instrument would call angelic, which wish to help. They wish to help with gifts of spiritual presence, inspiration, laughter, healing, and any number of invisible yet very real sub-rays of that sun of love, that logos of unconditional and infinite love. They will not aid in doing more chores more quickly, but rather the help, when remembered, is as that blessing which pours like rain upon the thirsty soul, smoothing and washing away the corrosive acid of catalyst, and offering the healing balm, the inner touch of that company which touches the heart, enters the heart, and settles there, spreading like the balm of Gilead, the feeling that all is well. In the midst of this chaos, all is well. This instrument at one time had a motto that hung on her wall, and it said, "Bless this mess." And we find that the energies involved in this sentiment have a good deal of the energy that we are speaking of, that feeling that it may look like I am alone and yet I am not. This may look like a mess and yet it is a blessing. this may look like confusion, yet all is well. The key to this expanded kind of awareness is remembrance. It is very helpful, as the one known as Tom said, to place within the consciousness little helpers that bring the mind back to the vital questions, who am I and what am I doing here? Quite often, who am I is a very provocative question and very pointed. Am I the mother? Am I the seeker? Who am I? What am I doing here? Usually, when that question is asked, it is in the context of a relationship. And we may say that a shortcut to the second question's answer is to know that love is always the reason that each entity is in a given situation at a given time. Consequently, the question becomes, where is the love in this moment, and how may I witness to it? When that realization comes, the ensuing action carries with it the energy of soul growth. For in dealing with the practicalities of the small, significant life, the fundamental bases for that life have been invoked, and consequently the energy body is balanced within the awareness of identity and purpose. We realize that it is most easy to lose sight of this identity and this purpose as being fundamentally spiritual. And consequently, if there are the heard signals within the day, such as this instrument's memory of noon whistles and bells to mark the beginning and end of classroom periods, the tones of the clock as it marks off an hour. This kind of sound is a good trigger to place within oneself so that when one hears that noon whistle, one has a moment of memory and remembrance of who you are and why you are here. It is tremendously centering to have those moments of recollection, and truly they need be no longer than a second or two. For to the soul who is eager, the possibility of returning to that place of remembrance brings forth a quick and eager response. Within each entity, there is a link between that which is measurable and that which is not. Within the measurable world, within the daylight world of consciousness, entities have the opportunity to choose what they wish to intend It is a choice which then may be held in remembrance, in intent. If, for instance, one goes into the sleeping state with intention to remember the dreams and explore them, that intention begins to have strength as the new resource is used. If one goes to bed and places a glass of water by the bed, and then holding that glass, one places the intention within that water, that asks the what this instrument would call the inner alchemist to supply those things that are needed for the next day. And then one takes the time simply to drink that water in thanksgiving, in praise, and in gratitude for the gifts that have been given. That intention sets into motion powerful energies which use the crystalline nature of the water to magnetize intention. Any opportunity that you as an entity have to remember such intentions as are important to you, and simply to think upon them, each thinking drives the intention deeper into the subconscious processes that are powerful to prevail in the ways of developing spiritual clarity within one's life. Remember that the deeper self is seeing a different kind of light. The inner self is already dwelling within that state of knowing which exists within all densities but your own. The plants, the animals dwell in a state of complete knowing that all is one, that all is in harmony, that all is working out as it should. Those within the angelic realms of your planet are also full of this consciousness. It is within the physical illusion that is made with the light of photons, atoms, molecules, and much, much of what you call space, creating this vast illusion that you now enjoy, that power is limited within the physical body. Within the mind, it is operating as the second density, as the fourth density, in a state of unity and awareness of infinite consciousness. In that light, there is more space. In that light, there is more peace. In that light, which is that shown by unconditional love, by the open heart, the stresses that wind one up like a spring are released gently and repeatedly as the moments of remembrance circle around and a deep breath may be taken in and out, pulling in the oxygen to the mind, pulling in remembrance to the intention. There is no physical action that is proof against the consciousness that is hungry to remember the vibration of unconditional love. In the seeking for that one great original thought of love, the seeking itself develops its own answer within you, so that as you seek, already the answer lies within the open heart. We would at this time rest this instrument, for we feel that we have perhaps said enough on this subject to generate other queries. And consequently, we would at this time leave this instrument and transfer the contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those known to you as Nkuo.
I am Kuo, and we greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. This time it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the capacity of speaking to any further queries which may remain upon the minds of those present. Is there a shorter query at this time?
May I ask about something that came up in channeling that Carla just did about seeing if you could prepare yourself the next day by thinking about what you're going to do before you go to sleep at night. In other words, let it work out through your dreams. And if there's any more, anything else that you said about that, about the dreaming function, and how you can best focus your attention on it to use it to work and serve the next day and grow the next day. If there are no other questions, I'd be interested in hearing about that.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. It is well if one wishes to work with the dreams, that one indeed prepare the self to do so. For in working with the dreams, one is working with the deeper portion of one's own conscious and subconscious mind. At this level of awareness, there is a perception of experience as an whole. There is the unification of that which seems broken to the conscious mind, that resides within the deeper portions of the mind. And as you are able to work with this portion of your own mind, you develop a pattern or relationship which can be built upon, expanded, and relied upon in all future endeavors. It is well, therefore, to, shall we say, convince the subconscious mind that you do indeed wish to seek that treasure which it has to offer. This may be accomplished by simple things that are repeated. That is the suggestion to the conscious mind, to yourself, as it would seem, that as you retire for the night and enter that state called sleep, that you wish to remember those dreams which follow, that you have indeed prepared yourself to work with these dreams by placing next to your sleeping position the necessary writing utensil and paper or pad upon which you may record the dream upon waking, or perhaps, as you are more adept at this work, one or two or more times during the night, you will be able to write the dream upon the pad, so that when you awake in the morning, there is a written record that will, shall we say, jog your memory and allow you to access further information as you begin to ponder the dream, to think upon the dream, and to record the dream. Record all impressions that come to you at this time. And when you have more time later in your daily round of activities, perhaps you will be able to meditate upon the dream, its imagery, its message, its importance. If you are able to make this time in your daily round of activities for this process, then you will find that the subconscious mind gives more and more symbology, more information that you may use to unlock, shall we say, other doors within your mind, which also have information that is pertinent to your query. Is there a further query, my sister?
Is it okay if it's unrelated? My husband's having health problems, and I wanted to try to heal him, but I feel, for some reason, I feel like I'm not sure if it's okay to I don't want to infringe on his free will, and he says it's okay, and I just, for some reason, I feel like I'm holding myself back somehow, because I don't want to, I don't want to interfere with his free will, and I'm wondering if you can shed some light on that.
I am caught and am aware of your query, my sister. Indeed, there is the concern for free will in this instance. For there is a portion of your own being which is not certain that this is the course of action which you wish to follow. It is first necessary for you to make this decision within yourself. And perhaps the working with your subconscious mind through the dream recording is a portion of that process which you may utilize in making this decision. For if you have the permission of the one to be healed, to work upon this entity, then there is only the removing of any blockages within your own being to allow this to occur. Is there a further query, my sister?
Enough for me, thank you.
I've got a follow-up on it, because I've had a question recently, and it was very related, and that was someone asked me, is it ever an infringement to send love to someone? So is it ever an infringement to offer healing energy? Is it a model where it's energy that you're sending, or is it a model where you're offering the energy to spirit and spirit, it knows where to go, it knows what to do with it?
I am quote, and am aware of your query, my sister. In most cases, there is no infringement if one wishes to offer healing energy or to simply send the love and light of the once again with this instrument. Is there another query at this time?
Well, I guess I do have another short one. You had said that I have to ask myself if I have any further blockages, and I know I do. I'm hesitant to try to do healing. I'm not sure if it's, I feel like I'm not qualified to do it. But for some reason, that's something that I'm hesitant to do, and I think it's because I don't feel like I'm I know enough to do it. And I seem to have a particular blockage about healing. And I'm not sure where it's coming from. I wonder what.
We will speak a few words further upon this topic, but do not wish ourselves to infringe upon your own free will, my sister. As you examine your own opinions concerning healing in general and your ability to accomplish it in particular, we would recommend that you employ a process of essaying so that you may write down the feelings that you have concerning this healing process. Explore upon the paper that which is upon your mind and within your heart. Allow this process to become a portion of the working with your dreams, so that there is a dialogue which is set up between your conscious and subconscious mind. In this way, perhaps you will be able to reveal to yourself that which is the major blockage that stands between you and your ability to heal, which we may comment upon is substantial. Is there another query, my sister?
No.
I don't
know.
Thank you for your query. Is there another query from anyone else?
I'm being asked very strongly over and over to ask a question in the form of a riddle. It's not transient. This riddle relates to all the questions of the Annati Maria, and the content that we've talked about. It's phrased in symbolic language. What is the difference between the symbol of a sphere and the symbol of a washing machine? As it relates to these questions.
I'm quote, we shall allow the one known as Maria to work with the riddle. Is there any other query at this time?
Humorous note and purely transient. Hiccups seem to be obviously catalysts pointing to some function that's going on in the person's being or mind, but is there a physical reason for them?
I am, and though we are aware of your query, we are unaware of the ability to express an appropriate response to the existence.
Thank you, Cole.
May we ask for a final query at this time?
Well, I'll just ask the question that I ask from time to time, and that is, do you have any new thoughts upon the adventures that I'm attempting to embark upon? Especially as concerns the gathering of Gary and Ed.
I am aware of your query, my sister. We are most pleased that there is an effort underway to add to the ability of this group to be of service to others. For this time upon your planetary sphere is one which will require a great deal of effort for the healing of Mother Earth and the population that inhabits her at this time. For as you are well aware, there has been a great deal of adversary relationship that has, in many cases, caused a movement away from the path many would have wished to travel before the incarnation began. Therefore, when any group joins in service to the one Creator, there is an increase in the possibility for all entities upon the planet, and for each entity that seeks in service to others. As you seek together, there is far greater chance that as a group entity, you shall find that which you seek. For there are many entities who have incarnated with latent abilities that come to the fore when there is the opportunity to share in service with others. Each entity will add that which is his or her own ability to the group's energy, and will find that there is a multiplication factor that returns the energy in a greater sense, so that there is a dynamic ability to grow in ways and degrees that were not previously possible for the individuals within the group, for the group itself, and for the planet as a whole. We are pleased to be able to work with this group, whatever its number might be. And we remind each in this circle of Sufi that we are happy to join you in your private meditations to help deepen the meditation, if you but ask or request our presence. We will speak no words, but will simply offer our conditioning vibration in order that each may feel a deeper sense of the meditative state and a centering of the self therein. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group. We are those of Quo. We leave each in the love and in the ineffable life of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Adonai.